Dr. Milo Brecky, Vice President of Youth Research Center in Minneapolis, and together with the President of the Center, Dr. Merton Strauman, Project Director for the Lutheran Seminarian Project. Even though I've been mildly involved with it, I don't feel that I have the grasp of it that would even tempt me to begin an explanation which would preempt the purpose of Dr. Brecky's being here. So let me turn the minutes over to him immediately.
Thank you very much. I want to begin by thanking you for the privilege, because I've long since learned in the specialized ministries that I've been called to at this time of life that it's never to be taken for granted when one has an opportunity both to stand before a faculty and student body, such as here at Concordia, simply to speak at all. But it's never to be taken for granted as anything other than a privilege to stand before a group such as yourselves and to be about the business of telling you something that I'm involved in, that others have become involved in, that they've become excited about, but that calls upon you for a kind of participation that involves eventually your sharing of some of your opinions, some of your beliefs, in a sense, some of your hopes and dreams for yourselves, for others, and in a sense, as in ministry, a letting others walk somewhat in the shoes in which you walk. We find ourselves in our work recipients of the kind of sharing that one experiences in parish ministry, where people open their lives enough to you so that you can walk somewhat where they walk and know something of their fears, something of their hopes, something of their dreams, something of their joys, something of their sorrows too, and that one might bring the ministry of the Word and Sacrament at all of those kinds of times. This project has something of that characteristic too, yet as you first hear of it, you may gain something of an other impression, but as it unfolds, I think you'll begin to see how that experience of ministry together is part of all of this too. Secondly, I want to begin by saying that I have come to gain a special respect for the educational system of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and particularly the parochial schools of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This came through my being commissioned about 3 years ago by the Board of Parish Education of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to conduct a study with the Study of Generations data, comparing what those who had not attended parochial schools versus those who had attended parochial schools sometime during the first 12 grades really were like as far as their commitment was concerned, their beliefs, values, their opinions about life and many of its facets. And I was very happy to report in that study, in a book that followed, that indeed, when one does a careful control for as many as 30 other variables that might be affecting positive commitment and personal faith and might be affecting the communication or the grasp of right doctrine, that still we were able to identify a clear positive impact, and rather powerful impact, of parochial education during the first 12 grades that, interestingly enough, seemed to be most profound during the latest years of life, a kind of cumulative effect that grows over the years. This is encouraging to us. I share it with you in case you hadn't heard of these findings, that it might be additionally encouraging to you. As I thought through what I would say to you this morning, I was rather forcefully almost taken back by the realization that between 24 and 20 years ago, I sat really in a very real sense where you're sitting today, not in this room, not in this seminary, but as a beginning seminarian at Luther Seminary in St. Paul. I recognize that to sit in that position then surely isn't the same as to be in that position now. But I think there are some parallels, at least. One of them, I was in one sense pretty well acquainted with what I was getting into as I responded to what I felt then and feel now as a call from God to minister. Yet, in some very real ways, I didn't have the slightest understanding of what I was really getting into in responding to that call. For one thing, in my seminary days, I frankly hadn't really expected the degree to which I would be powerfully confronted by the Word of God. And I also really wasn't fully expecting the degree to which I would be confronted by the living God in and through His Word, and by teachers who were personally committed and astute to reach me, not just intellectually, but here as a person. And I'm convinced I was quite a different person as I left seminary than when I came. I'm grateful for it. I wasn't too surprised when, following seminary, I'd grown up in a very large congregation, that I was called as an assistant in a large parish in a small city. But the surprises grew, nevertheless, as time passed, a call that I couldn't have imagined, to leave the parish, and I think this, the direct parish ministry, and I think this was the most difficult decision I ever made in my life. And to accept a call to serve with the Division of Parish Education in the development of curriculum for our church schools. And in my wildest dreams, I couldn't have imagined the possibility. I just did not imagine either the call that came to an inner city parish that was mixed racially, I accepted, situation was mixed in every which way, and then a very unusual call to go into a specialized ministry in doing research for the church that might benefit ministry on a broader scale, possibly. But I want to say this to you. If I faced the same decision points again, I would do it again. Because I have found that the Lord has been ever faithful. I have found without question that it has been a growing adventure, I believe, together with God and surely together with other people. Part of that adventure has included, in 1973, the interviewing of faculty and administrators from four seminaries of three Lutheran church bodies, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the American Lutheran Church, and the Lutheran Church in America. And the four schools were Concordia Seminary here, Luther Seminary St. Paul, Northwestern Seminary St. Paul, and Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago. The interviewing included questions regarding the perspective of faculty and administrators regarding really their view of the church, present situation, their concerns, needs they felt regarding the church, theological education, their own particular schools, their own ministry as teachers. All of the data from those interviews were combined, summarized, sent back to the presidents of those schools. The presidents were asked this, taking the summaries that really emphasized the concerns of these faculty members and administrators of seminaries. Which of these concerns, if additional staff and additional money were made available to try to meet those concerns, would be most beneficial to the seminaries if met? And consistently, the seminary presidents, there are other meetings of the deans of all of the seminaries of these three Lutheran church bodies involved in this decision-making too. Consistently, they came up with an identification of two of the concerns, saying if These were addressed with additional staff, additional monies, met with a project or projects. These would maximally benefit the seminaries as we see it. Two concerns with these. First, to be of greater assistance to incoming seminarians as they first come to seminary. And the thinking ran something like this. Over a period of time, usually many months, we become acquainted with more and more students and become more deeply acquainted with them as faculty and others in the seminary teaching situation. But we wish that we could get to know our students much more quickly and much more fully than we can do on the individual one-to-one relationship basis in the very first few weeks, the very first few months, that we might begin tailoring our instruction and the kinds of experiences we provide so that they might best fit the uniquenesses and the distinctivenesses of the different seminary classes as they come. Because we observe there's considerable difference one year to another in the student bodies that come to us, or the classes that come. Secondly, the concern was one of greater relevance to the realities of the changes in parish life. A concern that surely every seminary faculty member is active and participating in the life of a home congregation that is his own, and perhaps several others where he may be providing the services of one kind or another, but nobody's in that position of having contact with a representative sample of all of the parishes throughout the church, and surely not all of them, to know what are the particular concerns at this time, or what are the particular directions that parish life seem to be taking that we might be best aware of as we're working with our students. And day by day in the seminaries, and particularly during senior year or during the year's preparation for the vicarage or for internship. So a project was developed and funded by Aid Association for Lutherans that began in the fall of 1973 to continue for 3 years that had two goals. The first goal was to assess the strengths and the needs of incoming seminarians. And here's the place to put the underlining. In relation to ministry, not so much matters of knowledge or of academic skills per se, but to assess the strengths, the needs of incoming students relative to the elements that make for effective ministry in the parish. When we speak of the parish, we're talking about the whole gamut of parish ministry broadly, and a lot of ministries that aren't precisely usually described as parish ministry per se also. And the second goal of this project was to develop a pulse taker that would provide information for the seminaries regarding the changing realities of parish life throughout the entire church. This is a project then of the Lutheran Council, USA, funded by Aid Association for Lutherans, approximately $75,000 a year for the project. One goal and aim overall, that it might benefit all of the seminaries of these three Lutheran church bodies, particularly four schools that would be chosen as pilot schools during the heart of the project. And those four pilot schools are the same schools as the four in which the interviewing took place before the project was developed, including then Concordia as one of those seminaries. The project was to be carried out under the direction of YRC, Youth Research Center, which is really a nonprofit corporation of churchmen, standing predominantly Lutheran churchmen, standing outside the formal structures of the church, as a nonprofit corporation that can do projects that the churches want done without using entirely church money and oftentimes being in a position to do them to some degree across church body, and also to secure funding from, say, foundations and various other outside sources. Now, clarifying that first objective a little bit more precisely, because that's what we're focusing in on as I come today. The first objective amounted to aiming at first identifying the elements that make for effective Christian ministry, or the elements that make for harmful or detrimental ministry also. Secondly, then to develop ways of assessing seminarians as they enter the seminary regarding those elements, whether they be skills, or they be characteristics, or they be traits, or they be attitudes or values that people hold, or the likes. Then thirdly, to provide summary descriptions of the incoming classes of the seminary for the faculty. The faculty might use these in making decisions about the shape of curriculum and the manner in which they approach a particular class, because the summaries that we proposed too were not just total class, but perhaps dogmatic section 3, for example. No individual student identified, just summary profile description. And then to provide for individual students individual descriptions relative to these elements that make for effective ministry that are given to the student, where the student makes a decision about how far or not at all he shares that descriptive information about himself. But with the intent that ideally the student would choose to go to one or more faculty members with that kind of information also about himself, for the setting of educational goals, for the possibility of individualized instruction, for the possibility of considering different particular directions to go as far as emphases and preparation are concerned. But clearly, with the initiative lying with the student to use this in manners that the student's convinced will be most beneficial to him. Overall, then, the goal being to make this really a joint use by faculty and students that maximizes the potential of every student and also maximizes the potential of every faculty member then to provide education that's for the greatest benefit to the most students as individual students. Well, what have we done? Where are we? We began by asking hundreds of people who were in particular positions to observe practicing ministers to give us what we called critical incidents that were descriptive of what they felt was particularly good ministry or particularly bad ministry, and then to identify what they used for making that decision, that they felt this was particularly good or this was particularly bad. Then we also went to literally hundreds again and did some additional interviewing. Some of the faculty members here, for example, were interviewed, and some of students here were interviewed about a year and a quarter ago by Merton Stroman, another member of our staff, again regarding perspectives on what makes for effective ministry and what's really harmful and not beneficial at all in ministry. And from all of this, we developed a survey questionnaire that looked like this. It consisted of about 450 statements of ministry behaviors, if you please. All sorts, good and bad. Fullest range we could possibly glean out of the literature, out of this search for perspectives and opinions that came really from the breadth of five different evaluator groups. I'll make reference to those in a minute. Gave this instrument to some 5,000 randomly selected persons across the church, and secured then from five evaluated groups that were as follows: lay people in the parishes, seminary professors, senior seminarians, clergy, ministers in the field, and denominational executives responsible for theological education or for placement, with a 50-50 balance between lay people and the four professional groups. Data from 5,000 people, each one responding to better than 450 questions in a sense, where they were asked to rate each of those descriptions of ministry as to how beneficial they would see this being or how harmful they might see that being. And out of it, we identified by use of mathematical procedures that really operate blindly with the data, so the data organize themselves. We don't bring a structure to them. We identified then 77 criteria of effective ministry as Lutherans view ministry, and found also some 9 families of those criteria related to particular areas of ministry. Now, we didn't identify these by bringing our frame of reference, or the frame of reference of a particular subgroup, to the data, but rather use the kinds of methods so that what was reproduced in these 77 criteria was as close as possible to the frame of reference that was common among the 5,000 from whom data were collected. And they were a representative sample of the 5 groups I mentioned. Having done that, we began working on the whole question, or the whole side of the project, having to do with development of means of assessing a person's possession or demonstration or manifestation of these particular criteria, characteristics, whatever you prefer to call them. The project in the beginning had a steering committee that was made up of an executive from the board or commission on theological education from each of the 3 church bodies involved, a dean or other representative from each of the 4 pilot schools, and one or two persons who provided a special research expertise to the steering committee. Dr. Hoppen, for example, is part of that general steering committee of the project. But when we began to move into the area of developing assessments, we called together an instrumentation development panel. It consisted of the dean of faculty and the dean of students from each of the 4 pilot schools, plus some student representation. And they were the ones who made decisions about which of these various elements that make for effective ministry ought to be included in assessments. Now, to get an idea of what we're about, I think I need to underscore the fact that there are 2 ways in which the assessments that are being developed in this project are different from what you, and you note I haven't used the word tests. And the reason I haven't is because we're dealing with something different than you characteristically experience as tests. 2 things I want to underscore. First of all, that the assessments were not norm-referenced assessments, but they're being developed as criterion-referenced assessments. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that typically, when assessments are made, the kind of information that a person gets back is a comparison of what you look like by comparison with somebody else, or what you're like by comparison with some other group of persons. Information, for example, saying, well, you're in the 75th percentile, saying it back. 75% of other people score lower than whatever it is than you do. That's norm reference approach to assessment. The kink in a norm referenced approach is, if the highest person in the group, the person with the greatest skills in the group, still isn't very skilled. All you know is how everybody else compares with each other. But you don't know what this means in terms of, in a sense, objective, meaningful facts, so to speak. In a criterion-referenced approach, the information that a person gets back is not in terms, significantly, of how one compares with another, not in terms of you're high or you're low, as much as it's in terms of what do you look like by comparison with some kind of external criterion, some particular set of characteristics or skills that have been identified as possibly preferable or at least are used as a basis for comparison. Then a person can make judgments about himself as to how different do I want to be if I want to be different. Maybe this is the way I want to be as I see how I look relative to certain characteristics that are related to or skills related to ministry. Second way in which this approach to assessment is different is that we've taken a multiple assessment approach. About 6 weeks ago or so, I was invited to a friend's lakeside cabin to go canoeing for a day. We got out on the river, were canoeing, and I noticed that the friend and wife had nice plush cushions on the seats of their canoe. But the rest of us had just a hard metal, so we started joshing about, say, we noticed there's a little bit of difference in the way different people are treated here. The comment came back, well, that's only so that we can be so comfortable that it looks like we're more proficient canoeists than you are. But then the party who'd invited us said, you might be interested in this. He said, I was 200 miles away from the canoes when I made these cushions for the canoe seat. And I didn't know what size to make them. So what I did was I went to three members of the family, all who are familiar with the canoes, and I said, will you give me an estimate of the size of the canoe seats? Each one did. I calculated an average of those estimates. And I made the canoe cushion that size. Take a look at them. Well, they fit perfectly. Doesn't always happen that way. But there is something about that process that leads to a number of approaches to trying to assess the same thing from different perspectives give you a pretty accurate picture. So it was a decision of the instrument design panel that we develop assessment instruments of three types with overlapping multiple approaches so that any one isn't what the conclusions hang on, so to speak. But when put all together, one might have a quite highly accurate or reliable picture. First type, one you're relatively familiar with. Attitude, opinion, belief assessments, a minimum of these, but largely statements you're asked to respond to as to the degree to which you agree or disagree with them. I think you're pretty familiar with this kind of approach. The second may be quite different from something you participated in before. The second we call case items. Every one of them based on somebody's real life experience in ministry. And they consist of a paragraph that describes a real life situation, a kind of you are there. This is occurring or has occurred. Okay, now it's your move. What would you do? Or what do you think you would do? What would be your objective for doing that? What would be your rationale? The principle or the basis for your doing that. And as these were developed, they were given open-ended, again, to a very large number of persons in faculty positions, parish positions, student situations. They responded open-endedly. What we've constructed then are possibilities of response that have come from what they told us they would do, what their objectives were, what their rationales were, and then with opportunity for a person to add in, I don't see it that way at all, I do something entirely different, here's my reason for it. could be open-ended. But we've moved from the entirely open-ended to something that looks like multiple choice but isn't, as you'll see. Because the handling of open-ended data like essay examinations from hundreds and hundreds of students gets to be so terribly cumbersome and so possibly inaccurate that we went to a method that seemed less cumbersome and more accurate in the long run. Third approach, an interview approach. It's the asking of direct questions where a person has all the opportunity that a person desires to respond to that question in terms of, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I do, this is what I have done. The questions, again, related to the elements having to do with effective ministry, and again, that information incorporated into an overall descriptive picture of a class, overall descriptive picture of individuals. Well, who gets the information? Underscoring, this isn't a situation where students provide all the information, faculty gets all the dough. So often that way. Nor is it a situation where students give the information, students get everything back, and students are totally in control. But rather a situation where we ask for student participation, information grouped, provided for faculty, information about individual students, only going to the individual student, nobody else. No information kept on campus. No. Nothing going into your permanent records. I had one student in another setting who said, well, couldn't it go into my permanent record if I wanted? Yeah, it could if you wanted. But nothing compelling it. An opportunity. Now, nothing being thrust upon you, but rather an opportunity offered. And we're at the point now in the project where we have about a second form of each of those three types of instrumentation developed. We're ready to involve four pilot schools in the project. And what we're asking at this point, again, I'm in no position to coerce you, and inviting you to participate in that which you may find interesting and valuable for your growth in ministry, and which will surely benefit large numbers of students down the road if you participate now. Because one of the things we're after is your criticism of the assessment procedures and the outputs that come back to you. So that we invite you to participate as follows. Incoming students, junior seminarians, are asked to come this Friday to Seek Hall, room 201, 202, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, being excused from any classes you may have at that time, for a three-hour time when you'd be invited to participate in the attitude, opinion, belief, assessment, instrumentation, and the case items. Then a subsample, a small proportion of that incoming class being invited later on in October to participate in an interview process where you're interviewed privately by a person in the school but not faculty or dean, I think. Has it been worked out that way, or is it faculty in this situation?
No, I've named three people.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. And where the interview would be taped, again, not seen by anybody else here on campus, just as a data from the attitude, opinion, belief, and the case item questionnaires wouldn't be seen by anyone here, wouldn't be identified with you, would be sent directly to YRC, and here's what would come back. For those who participate in all three as individuals would come back an individual profile description on probably, as it looks like now, upwards of 40, 45 of these elements of effective ministry. That would come to you as the individual student. There would be a group profile on the entire incoming class, and that would come back to faculty. Then there would be a hypothetical individual profile that was made up of information from a variety of students, all of them not identified, that would come back to faculty members so that they see what a typical individual description looks like. These could come back to all students if you would prefer, with the intent that these be critiqued, that you try making use of them, that you feed back information about, you know, this is useful, this isn't worth one whit, this needs modification, this ought to be changed in form, this ought to be changed in content, the likes, or your feedback saying, this worked, this was helpful, so that together we work on a project that's mutually beneficial to students and faculty alike. For those of you who would not be chosen for the interview process, we'd be returning an overall report of what happened in the project as a result of your participation, including a summary of your critique of this and what modification was then made on the basis of your critique. If you're interested, sample profile that isn't specific to you, however, that would be lacking in some of the data. And what your major contribution would be a contribution to the development of something that over time, gradually, hopefully, becomes more and more useful. I frankly stand before you to say, here's an opportunity to get into something that others, as they've gotten into, I found pretty interesting. I don't think my appropriate place is to say, oh, you're for sure going to be really excited about this. This will vary greatly. Yeah. But generally, those who participated have found it interesting, valuable, and over time, too, have discovered that they're contributing to something that benefits a whole lot of other people down the road. The timing on this includes two, about five returning interns being involved in the interviewing. This is purely, frankly, so that we see if there's some difference between what a typical returning intern seems to look like as over against what incoming students typically look like. And as one faculty member put it in another setting, let's be clear about one thing. It's assumed nobody is going to come out, you know, just looking perfect in relation to a whole batch of characteristics having to do with ministry. As it was put by this faculty member, well, maybe if the Lord himself were to be involved in this, he wouldn't come out, you know, perfect in all of it either, facetiously. But the point being, the expectation is that this be, in a sense, diagnostic. Great concern to respect your integrity and not to be compelling but to be helpful. The timing would be such that the first two instruments would be participated in on this Friday, 19th of September, I mentioned before, from 1 to 4 in Seek Hall, rooms 201 and 202. Interviews during the early part of October, or mid-October, interviews taking up to about an hour and a half. And that normally on the project, future years, assuming it would grow and continue, the return of information would be within a couple of weeks. As we're developing this now, the return of information will be about Christmas time. And the time in which we would be looking to an interactive working relationship on improving the outcomes or the outputs would be after the first of the year. We'd be looking for feedback from you. And over time, this then being developed well enough so that it fits not just you, but all of the 15, 16 seminaries, 17 of the three Lutheran church bodies involved. You're very patient. I've done a lot of talking. And you have been good listeners. At least your eyes have been saying so, and I've appreciated it. I want to throw it entirely open to questions at this point, comments, concerns. I want to be as helpful as I can to make this clear and to lower any anxieties or to make anything that seems confusing useful. So fire away. Yeah. As we develop this, it appears now that what we're probably going to come up with will be types of patterns of response to different questions or different case situations that can be described verbally so that we would identify a person tends toward being like this particular pattern as over and against various other patterns. That's the direction that it seems to go now. If we discover, as we statistically analyze the data, that these types order themselves, in a sense, on a single dimension or number line, then we would be able to attach a numeric identifier also to the type. But we aren't certain how the data are going to work out. One of the things that we have done, for example, in developing the case items in presenting them to students open-ended and to faculties open-ended is to not then try to provide possible responses that are just logically related or logically ordered on a particular continuum, but rather that just fit the natural kind of things people would do or the way people would respond in such situations. And so the information relating to a particular type related to a given criteria or element related to ministry might come from several different cases and might also come from part of the interview, might come somewhat from an attitude, opinion, belief statement as well, and be combined because they have something underlying them in common. A statistical combination, but not an attempt, first at least, to come out with scaled scores as such, but yet factor and analyze, cluster analyzed groups of interrelated data. Other questions or comments? Go ahead. Appreciate that. That's the underlying thinking of which we're approaching all of it. We see great potential for this being an assist in which all can participate. Much of this is going to depend upon, frankly, faculty interest and involvement. No question about it. This is one of the reasons for my viewing this as such a great opportunity, having not only students present, but faculty at this point in time, that you're alerted to what this is all about, have opportunity to think about it, be prepared for it as information returns. And one thing I did not mention is as we return information to you, We will either be coming ours, when I say we, Dr. Stroman and myself, or other members of the staff of the project, will be coming to the school first for usage seminars, and then as you see fit beyond that, to provide counseling assistance to you about possible use of this, so that there's no opportunity for misunderstanding it, for making inappropriate use because one doesn't clearly know what one has, but so that, again, one's in the best position to make this most beneficial. If you don't have additional questions, yes. Would you care to comment on that? I think that it would be possible a second time. We would prefer, simply because of the pressures of what's involved in dealing with large bodies of data and trying to return information to you as quickly as we can, that if you possibly can, you come this Friday. I think that what's likely to occur is that if numbers of students simply are not able to be present due to work schedules as something that they already have scheduled that they can't really be released from, that there would be another time arranged so that you could participate in it. More than likely, I would presume it might be a week from this Friday as a possible time. Again, wanting to be flexible so that you can fit in. I thought I saw something stirring back there. Not so, apparently. Yeah. Right, if you don't have further questions or comments at this point, I'd like to ask incoming students to stay at this point and the any of the returning vicars who have been asked to participate and agreed to do so, being asked by Dr. Hoffman, I'd like to talk about how the participants for the interviewing will be selected and to explain what you should do at this point to helpfully participate in that selection. Others dismissed at this point as you see fit. If you want to stay, of course, you're welcome.